From the Len de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's our Safer Ag Workshop special. Today, we'll explore the 2022 Safer Ag Workshop that took place on the University of Illinois campus and some of the outcomes that are yet to be developed. We'll do that with some of the participants and the workshop's organizer.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Salah Issa is an assistant professor in agricultural engineering here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and organized the Safer Ag Workshop in an attempt to bring many of the players into the same room to discuss autonomous tractors, automation in agriculture in general, and how to develop some safety guidelines, maybe some things to suggest as policy and regulations, moving forward into what he thinks is a new era.
So I'm in the ag engineering department focusing on ag safety, and we spend a lot of time looking at existing safety issues on the farms and how we can address that. That comes from tractor rollovers or grain bin entrapments or falls and so on. And looking through all this data, one thing that you can't help but think about is that tractors, when they came out in the early 1900s. By, I think, 1920s, 1930s, they became commonplace on American farms. But was it in the 1970s that you had the first regulations on tractor safety, which is the installation of ROPS? And even 40, 50 years later, in survey, I think that was conducted about a decade ago, they noticed that about half of all tractors still do not have ROPS. So, and we still see incidents every day or every year on this. And you could see that tractors are still the number one source of injury on farms. We're now going through a second agricultural transformation. With all this autonomous equipment, autonomous systems slowly starting being implemented on farms. And, you know, the goal of this workshop is saying, hey, before all of this becomes standard equipment on farms, let's make sure that not only does it increase the productivity of the farm, but it actually also makes the farm safer as well.
Again, that was Salah Issa from the University of Illinois. He organized the Safer Ag Workshop that took place in 2022. A couple of the participants, Jennifer Lincoln and Don Castillo, are from NIOSH, and I talked to them. They're with the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. It's the federal agency responsible for conducting research to keep workers safe and well on the job. In the workshop's opening session, Don Castillo posed a few safety questions that she thought should be explored during the two-day event.
And the questions that I posed included three. One was, what are the most important occupational safety research needs that exist right now that we need to look at in the next 5 or 10 years? And the second question was, what data are available? Where do we find out information about the types of adverse outcomes that occur when someone is using these types of new technologies? And then the third question I posed, because there are so many people here from industry, is to ask what is the barrier to them to working with somebody in academia to do this type of research.
Those are questions that they'll try to take up during this track and then discover ways to move forward. On the farm, however, and in agriculture in general, adoption of new technologies can be very, very fast. The two of you made note that it does take time to get through this process. Again, farmers and others tend in agriculture to adopt things very quickly. How urgent is the occupational side of this?
Well, the occupational safety side is urgent because in order for that technology to be effective and to be for the farmer, needs to have the worker safe as well as, you know, help with productivity. There are so many research needs. But at the same time, there's some general guidance that we can use to keep workers safe. So there are risk assessment frameworks that people can use. There are safety checklists that people can use to make sure that as they begin to deploy, they're thinking through what are the potential hazards and how can I control them.
One of the things that the two of you also mentioned was the idea that the end user, in this case the farmer, had to be really comfortable with the robot or the technology, one of the two. Now, for instance, farmers are already really comfortable with a lot of autonomous vehicle structure, meaning it's already built in. GPS units are in, the tractors do drive themselves with somebody in the cab. Is there fear that adoption could be so fast with already the industry producing vehicles, looking to produce vehicles very quickly, enhancing AI within them, that you'll not be able to stay up with this process?
So the advancing technology and being able to keep up with it in terms of knowledge on how to keep workers safe, in terms of regulations to ensure they're safe, there is concern about it being outpaced. There are issues of human trust, but there's also, it's important not just to be comfortable with the technology, but to understand its capabilities and its limitations. So one vein of research shows that sometimes people overestimate what the automation can do or underestimate it. And so it's really important for the farmer, for the worker, to know what exactly the capabilities are. And to, again, not overestimate that the robot's doing more thinking than it can do.
What are your hopes from this conference?
So my hopes are that this group of people, about 100 people, that they bring together their experiences, their perspectives, their information needs, and they help identify, you know, what our future steps are, what are things that we need to research, what are things that we need to consider. So I'm looking forward to this collective body of knowledge informing how we move forward together.
You were just listening to Jennifer Lincoln from NIOSH, and Don Castile joined her as well. She, too, is with the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and they were at the Safer Ag Workshop, organized again by Salah Issa. He says that that last point about having goals and being able to put together a framework was the reason for the workshop.
So, and that's a great point. This is actually why we called it a workshop, not a conference, because we did have a very specific goal in mind. Our goal was to bring everybody together at the same table to share their when it comes to ag safety and health for emerging technology. And so we documented what every single person in the audience told us that they think is important in the morning sessions and later in the afternoon. We collected all that, discussed it, and we developed a set of priorities on what is important that we are planning to share with the research community, the farming community, and industry as well.
Can you give us a peek?
It's going to be coming soon. We're still in the process of evaluating it. But for example, one thing that came out of our standards and regulation and risk analysis team was that they realized that there needs to be a database on case uses, like how do farmers actually use this equipment, which could differ from the way that the manufacturer intended for it to be used.
That risk analysis is an important part of safety, and the risk analysis is an important part of insurance. Mike Keenan is a risk control manager with Arthur J. Gallagher. He also attended the workshop.
Arthur J. Gallagher is the fourth largest insurance brokerage in the world. I'm here because I have a real strong interest in helping our clients mitigate and control losses due to property or injuries, and a lot of our clients are looking toward robotics and automation to reduce those injuries, and it because it's still so new, a lot of my clients are asking, you know, what about, what issues might we encounter when we go to automation and robotics? What things are we not thinking about? And as we implement these things, are there things that we need to be putting in place to make sure that we're not trading one issue for another?
And your job, because you're in the insurance company, would be the liability, or to cover the liability. And your job really is to know some of the issues and understand what that liability
yes.
might be.
So it's the liability, but it's also the workers' compensation insurance, because the worker exposure is the piece that we're trying to control. As we have workers interacting with robots working in the same space, there's can be some issues there.
What have you learned so far? What are you hoping to put in place or that might come out of this workshop?
Well, I'm just really encouraged that we have a really good connection between the researchers, the people on the farm. We have ag producers here in the room that are giving their input. And we have other folks like myself on the insurance side, people that are really kind of the boots on the ground and have influence on the direction that we move, and helping people really connect all those areas toward making robotics efficient and safe at the same time.
Mike Keenan is a risk control manager with Arthur J. Gallagher. It's an insurance company, and he expressed that he was surprised and very happy to see a large gathering at the workshop, and that it crossed many, many different parts of the industry. That, too, was one of Sala Issa's goals.
I was really happy that they were interested and involved. That, you know, that was, it was really happy. Was I surprised? That's it's an interesting question to ask. I have to say we industry, like from John Deere and Raven, involved all the way since the beginning of planning for this workshop. So there's been strong interest from industry. It's I'm really excited to see what recommendations we come up with and how that will end up impacting, basically impacting safety in agriculture. And I'm hoping that as we continue to move forward, agriculture continues to become a safer field. You know, as you're aware, currently, in terms of rates, agriculture is considered one of the most dangerous fields in the U.S. currently.
My name is John Schutzke. I'm a professor and agricultural safety specialist at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Tell me about the cooperation between the two campuses as it's related to the Safer Ag Conference.
So we were approached, a number of us were approached by USDA about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, to develop some kind of a workshop, a working group that would actually develop a roadmap, recommendations, research questions to help guide our federal funders, information to help policymakers, regulators, insurance companies, groups like that. It did seem to me that the University of Illinois was a really prime place to have it. Number one, you've got great leadership here with Dr. Issa and also just kind of the infrastructure to help make this happen. Plus, you're situated right in the heart of the Corn Belt. And there has not been quite as much. There's been a lot of robotic and autonomous work done in California. There's been a little bit of work up in Wisconsin, particularly around the dairy industry, like with robotic milking machines. We just kind of felt that this was a prime location, and it would also be a location where we would have a lot of industry people who would come to the University of Illinois. So it's been a really great partnership. Illinois has been awesome to work with. I've got a bit of a history back here that goes back about 30 years, but I knew a lot of the players here, so it's been a great partnership.
What are you hoping that the workshop provides to both the industry and the government?
Well, I think a number of us get involved with different organizations. One example is the American Society of Agricultural and Biological Engineers. You go there and there's a lot of industry people. Those industry people are talking about standards. You may have people at a workshop and they're academia. They're talking about their research or maybe their extension program. So to my knowledge, there has not really been a forum to bring all parties to the table, all voices, all stakeholders. But at this workshop, we do have people who are funding programs and projects. We have some people who do regulatory work, and so the idea is to get together and kind of develop a common framework of understanding, kind of a baseline, so that we're all working off of the same knowledge page. There have been some regulations that have had an impact on this industry. When I say this industry, autonomous agriculture in California, in some people's mind, they're maybe not fully informed based on, you know, what's real and what these machines really look like. So it's hopefully to develop that baseline foundation of knowledge across all stakeholders.
On this day, you'll actually try to put some of that to work to come up with what that baseline may look like or the framework in which to build it around, I suppose.
But yeah, today is a chance to really dig in. We've got probably 15 or so really key questions. One example is, federal people who are funding occupational health and safety research, I'm really interested in that in my job, but like, what do they do? Where do they even start? What are the key research priorities that they need to be looking at? Another quick example is standards. So standards are things that designers and engineers use to create and innovate new products. The problem is, or one of the issues is, that the standards have not kept up. The technology is advancing so rapidly, and these standards take years to develop, and so we've got a little bit of a lag. There are gaps between what's in engineering standards and what the actual practice is. We also eventually have to bring the farmer voice into all of this. I think it's just a little bit early. You know, there's a lot of glitz and glamour. You go to the Farm Progress Show and you've got the prototype, autonomous tractors and things like that, but eventually, I would think within the next year or 2 years, we've really got to bring the producer voice to the table.
Some interesting things that I heard during the program yesterday, for instance, as you were talking about standards, and it may not be something that is codified, but just, for instance, I think the example was ABS brakes.
Yeah.
That if you have an ABS brake, everybody knows what that is, it kind of works the same. Or the backup signal on a truck. Just having proper phrases across the whole of the system.
Yeah.
And then you build probably out rather than in, but you kind of build out to those sorts of things.
Yeah, I mean, so those are two good examples. I'm not as familiar, for example, with anti-lock braking system, but a couple things I am very familiar with also that a lot of your audience would be familiar with is the slow-moving vehicle emblem. So if I go to Tractor Supply or I go to my CNH dealer, wherever I go, a slow-moving vehicle emblem complies with an ASABE standard. And it's really important because that specifies not only the language and the terminology, but also how far of a distance will that be visible if you go to the back of a slow-moving vehicle as you approach it. It specifies the size, where it needs to be located. Another example, just quickly, is rollover protection. We know that when we buy a tractor that has a ROPS that is approved by a standard or that complies with a standard, that it's going to withstand the forces of a rollover. So there's some of the same principles that apply with autonomy. It's important, though, that safety standards also hold manufacturers and others to a certain sort of standard in terms of safety and again, being able to depend on that device or that machine to protect people in a dangerous situation.
That dependence is important for the safety of the worker first and for the financial well-being and safety of the company secondly. That's where we started with the risk management theme here. And I'll bring you back now to a company which had a representative, the co-founder and CEO, in fact, of Grain Weevil at the Safer Ag Workshop. He was there for one simple reason.
Part of the reason why I'm here today is because there's so much of the safety and the liability insurance and all of those things that, you know, when you're introducing a new product that doesn't really fit the mold of tractors or autonomous robots in the fields, we're navigating all of that stuff right now, and so the safety certifications and liability aspect of it is unknown. It's an expensive avenue to go down to make sure the robot's safe.
So you're really working here because you wanted the context and the context as much as anything at the Safer Ag Workshop so that you could figure out how to, one, possibly price, ensure liability, and make sure that this thing meets safety standards.
Yeah, so we've known all along that if you're building a safety robot, the robot has to be safer than the alternatives. And grain bins are hazardous locations, so they can explode, the dust explosions, all of those things. So there are regulations that guide us, and then there's also, you know, design standards to make sure that our software has backups and can detect things and be safe. So everything, like, it won't work outside of its confined grain bin. So I can't be carrying it and it'll turn on. So we have to build all that stuff in. And this workshop allows me to connect to the people that are writing those standards, that are developing those things, other companies that are already implementing them. So we can learn how to navigate as quickly as we can through this. It's a very important process. You know, you don't want to take shortcuts, but you just don't want to go down the wrong path for 2 months and then realize, oh, I should have been doing something else.
Chad Johnson is the CEO and co-founder of Grain Weevil. That's a company that has developed a robot that's autonomous to help level grain bins and to break up problems within the bin so that grain can continue to flow. He came to the Safer Ag Workshop at the University of Illinois in hopes of finding some contacts and context for pricing the Grain Weevil. He also was hopeful that there would be some safety regulations that he'd be able to use as they put this product onto the marketplace. That, too, is the goal, again, of the organizer of the program, Sala Issa. And he says they will put out some results from the workshop soon enough.
Part of our work is to be really careful and really concise in our efforts and make sure that we actually do represent our audience or our attendee thoughts and on this. So we are slowly working through these documents. We're going through multiple cycles of review with our attendees and then later on with other peer reviewers. Our current timeline on this is probably to have these out by June, July of 2023.
Do you have plans for a second Safer Ag workshop?
I conducted a survey on our attendees and had more than 40 respond back, and of those 40, 75% said yes, there needs to be a second Safer Ag workshop. So it's currently not in the plans, but it definitely seems like there's a need for more communication and more discussion. I would say the current plan right now is get these initial reports out, and that might clear the thoughts on what we need to discuss next. What is our next steps? And that's where our second workshop will be built around.
Sala Issa is an associate professor in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences and helped to put together the Safer Ag Workshop that was held on the University of Illinois campus in late 2022. Again, he's hoping to publish results of that workshop that should help to guide both the industry and the government in the development of some regulations, guidelines around autonomous vehicle and autonomous operations and robotics within agriculture. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You may find our program to download, listen to anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. There you'll find the daily programming, the opening market report, a midday report, the closing market report, and our weekly look at the markets as well. It's called Commodity Week, or you can search them out as podcasts, both the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, and places like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many more.